to get my mind off the Lord and onto myself and how, what a failure I am, or I didn't do this right, or I didn't do that right, or why shouldn't I be doing something that I'm not doing? How many of you have experienced that? That's all he's got, folks. That's all he's got. That's all the enemy has. But he knows right where we live. And he knows right how to get our attention off the Lord and onto ourselves. Because he gets us right where we live. This is just, and it almost makes me laugh because he hasn't got a whole lot of new stuff other than the, you know. Well, but you didn't pray enough. Did I pray enough? Well, no, you didn't pray enough. That's why this isn't happening. You know, everything. He can use the word and just get us all flustered. But we know the word because he lives in us. He lives in us. Not around us, but himself is in us. We are in him and he is in us. And do you know that even the very thought in your mind, the very thoughts that you have, he's listening to every one, including the ums and the ands. He doesn't miss it. How do I know that? 73 years on the earth I have been. And when the Lord has interrupted my thoughts and answered in the middle of my prayer that I didn't finish yet, many times he's come in. How many of you have experienced that, where he's just interrupted your thought and said, I heard you. Have you not experienced that? It's amazing. I remember, I know this is going to seem kind of way back there, and it is way back, when my kids were, you know, still some of them in diapers. And we were going to church Sunday morning, you know, and you know what that's like when you're getting ready for church with kids. Everybody knows what that's like here. Except for maybe Kelly. I'm sorry, Kelly, you missed it. But it's okay. It's okay. It is kind of be crazy getting to church with kids. And there could be spats. Who ever heard of an argument before church?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, never. Right? Oh, no, we're all. Okay. My husband and I, we were going at it. I don't remember the foggiest idea what it was about, but it must have been important if we were, you know, arguing about it for church, right? Yeah. So we're at it, you know, and I get in Sunday school, and I'm feeling so guilty, like, why am I shouldn't be in Sunday school, I just had a fight with my husband, blah, blah, blah. You know, and boom, the Lord interrupts my thoughts and just blesses me and lets me know that he loves me, and it's like, oh my goodness, it just melted me, and he's done that to me so many times in so many different ways. I know each one of you have experienced that in your own way at some time or some place. But sometimes we're so distracted with whatever, and he's trying. And it really wasn't even what my message is, but I heard his heart. And he's reaching out to each of us, and he's saying, I want to make love to you. I want to become intimate. I want to tell you why I let them do what I did for you. I want you to know. I want you to know. I want to speak to you, and I want to kiss you. What does it say in Solomon? He kisses us. Now with you guys, he might kiss you on the...
But it says he kisses us on the lips. That means he brings the fruit of our lips before himself.
He's so intimate. He's so personal. And it's really hard to be so distracted in a time that he's so reeling us in. That is why it is so distracting right now. Because he is closer now to his coming than he's ever been before. And he's just chomping at the bit. Father, when? When? And he's wooing us and he's calling us. And he wants us all ready and he's making us without spot and wrinkle. And some of that intimacy gets a little rough because we're a little dirty. And sometimes, have you ever had taken a child who was full of dirt everywhere or had some real oil spot on them that was really hard to get off?
Moors have.
Well, it's not exclusive to them either. I'm telling you, sometimes it's hard to get those stains off. It's hard to get that dirt when they've got it crusted in on them, you know, and they've been in the mud. I was trying to wash my tires the other day from the yellow, orange clay of Georgia, which is on my road, and with all the rain, my tires are so full of that mud, and it gets hard and crusty if you don't wash it off the minute you get out of the car. And of course, I'm home at night, and I don't go out and wash my car at night when I get home. So it's crusty, and it's hard to get off. And sometimes we make it difficult for the Lord to get stuff off of us, to get our gown, get our garments prepared. Because like a little kid, you ever have a little kid trying to clean him and he's trying to run over here and he's trying to run over there? And I know you have never experienced that, right? Maybe Michael hasn't.
Every dinner time with Samuel.
Well, that's what it seems that the Lord sees about his body right now. The world can contaminate us. And because so much of what's going on in the world today is holding our attention. Yeah. That contamination is getting on us. We can't help it because we're in the world. We are of the world, but we're in the world. So we need to press into him more. We need to go more intently into his presence and say, wash it off, Lord. Wash it off. Show me where I'm out of order and what I'm letting happen to me. Wash it off. Help my attitude. You know, I'm so angry about this and I'm so angry about that. Help me have your attitude. Help me. Let my garments be without spot and wrinkle. And so we go through these rough places. And it seems like it's impossible to have joy. It's impossible how could that happen? What's going to happen? I can't do this. I don't have the time. I can't do that. I don't have the strength. I can't. What's going to happen to my kids? You know, there's so much going on. And he's saying, come in, come in. Come into the bridal chamber to all of us. Because the intimacy he wants to have is what's going to carry us through this season. It's so difficult. And we don't have to be on our knees in a quiet place. Because we could keep our minds stayed upon him continually. But it takes... intentional faith to do that. To takes intentional pressing in. And so tonight I want to talk about, glasses on and out of the way, I want to talk about, again, intentional faith and how it is that we can respond to the Lord with intentional faith. So let's go to Psalm 42 first. I'd like to let us be built up a little bit. Because we want to become overcomers. You know, in Revelation, there's 7 churches that got promises of their overcoming. If you overcome, and there are 7 promises. I'm not going to go over the promises now. That's another teaching. We've all read them at one time or another, probably more times than not. But overcoming means something. Doesn't mean we're dragging in there, we're barely making it. It means we're overcoming. We're overcoming this life. We're overcoming our circumstances. We're not under our circumstances. We're overcoming because He overcame. And He said, I have overcome so you can overcome. And so we're going to move into overcoming faith. But I don't know about you, but I'd like to hear a little encouragement from the Word. So in Psalm 42, it's, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O God. Lord, tonight, in response to what you're asking us and you're calling us and wooing us to, we pant after you. We choose tonight to pant after you, to run after you, to not be distracted. We choose tonight to run after you, to be thankful in all situations because we know that you're perfecting everything. And that everything that you allow in our lives, you are using to strengthen us and to draw us closer to yourself. Thank you, Jesus. My inner being thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and appear before you, Lord? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where's your God? Does the devil say to you anytime during the day, where's God? You know, did he remind you of the prayer that you haven't seen answered yet and say, what? Whatever he says to you personally, we all have personal things that he says that attack us. When I remember these things, I pour out my inner being within me. How I went with the multitude. I wandered with them to the house of God, and the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept the holy day. You know, today I spent a lot of time just listening to worship music and being in worship with the Lord. And you know, it just so lifted me. And I was listening to worship music on my YouTube. And of course, there are people singing. And so I was joining them in spirit. And it just so lifts you from the place that you're in. And it just ministered to me, but I know also that it ministered to the Lord because I was praising Him and He is worthy and deserves it.
Yes, it's He does.
You know, there was a time when David, when he became king and they anointed him into his kingship, it was like he couldn't realize that he was king, you know? It had happened and it was overcoming. It was overwhelming. It was an overwhelming situation. And sometimes he had self-doubt about it and he couldn't get used to the fact that he was king. He spent a long time running from a king. And switching gears wasn't quite as easy as you'd think it would be. But when he switched gears and he was coming out of that situation, there was a time before that, or even, I think he was king then, I can't remember, somebody help me, at Ziklag. I think he was king. Was he king at Ziklag? Not yet. Right?
No, he was running from Saul, yeah.
Because he was running from Saul. It was before, just before, it wasn't too long before he was king. But when he was at Ziklag, and he was with his men, and he came back, he left his people, the women, the children, and those who stayed behind, and he went out to fight a war. Well, I won't go into detail with the Philistines and all that stuff. That's another story. But when he went out to fight, they said, no, you know, it wasn't okay with all the Philistines, so they didn't trust him. Some of them did, some of them didn't. So they sent him back. But when he got back to Ziklag, there was trouble. I mean, it wasn't a little bit of trouble. I don't think we've had that kind of trouble yet. I hope we don't have to. But when he got back, everything they owned, including their children and wives, were gone, had been stolen. Can you imagine what went through their mind? Can you imagine if you went home and your children and your wife were gone? Guys, you'll have wives. But you, even the single guys can think about, can understand that. And can you imagine, women and children, if you were snatched out of your house by bad people and thrown into a car or thrown into something? Who knows what could have happened but God? And David, not only was he grieved and angry and upset, but they wanted, his BFF, his lawyers wanted to kill him because it was all his fault. It was his idea. Okay? So he's at probably one of his lowest points. I couldn't really speak for him, but I'm sure that was probably it. Except for when maybe the time that God killed Uzziah. But it's hard to compare that. Uzzah. It's hard to compare that time. But what did David do? Did he have a pity party? Did he go hide from his men because he thought they were going to hurt him? No, he did not. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He spoke to himself with his mouth. You better believe he was talking to himself out loud. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Does somebody want to read that at Psalm 42? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Got it. ESV. And why? Why? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. That's one of the greatest verses outside of what Jesus had to say in the Bible. Because it lets us know that no matter how bad it is, God is bigger, and we can rely on him no matter what it looks like, no matter what the devil says,
We are in him and he is in us. And David understood that. He understood that. And there are times, ladies and gentlemen, and children, that we're going to have to remember that in the days ahead. Not that we haven't had times like that already, but I think we're going to all have to be prepared to know that God is bigger and that he wants us to have an eternal view of our lives and not the view of where we are right here in a little corner of the world. This is so temporary. Now, I can tell you young people this. It seems like yesterday that my kids were little. And I know that's hard to believe. But time goes by so fast. And the more we have our eyes on the eternal, the greater the victory we're going to have when we see something contrary to what we think we want to see. We also know that God's bigger. Because why? Because David said, let's go. We're going to go get him. I'm sure a lot of the men went, oh, they're probably already dead. They're probably already whining and complaining and ready to kill him. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, he gets the God's countenance and he says, let's go get him. Boy, you know what? I'm sure it set him off. I'm sure it set those men off. And they said, yeah, and boom, they turned all their attention on the victory instead of on the situation. That's what we have to do in every situation. Jesus has already won the victory. He has already overcome. He has already made the way. He has already brought everything that we need into this realm for us to receive by faith. That's why we have to press intentionally in with our faith to eat the word, meditate on the word, and I like to say romance the word. I mean, because, you know, God wants to romance us with the word. He wants us to dance with the word. It's just like when you're reading a good book, you know, you're like enjoying all what you got in your mind, in the picture in your mind, you're picturing all these things when you're reading a good book, and you know, when you're reading about the forest, and you're picturing the forest in your mind. Well, picture the word. Get it in your mind's eye, what the word is saying. Chew on it. Think about it. Because it's going to take you over, not just in the big things, but in the little foxes that spoil the vine. Especially our relationship with the Lord. Because the more that we romance with him, with his word, intentionally, to believe it and to keep it before us in every circumstance, the more we're going to be strengthened and we're going to be that army. We're going to be able to follow the Lord wherever he goes. Follow our general. And the Lord is saying, be encouraged. Let me romance you with my word. Let me talk to you with my word. Not just in your spirit, but let my spirit and the word come together in you. A lot of times we're busy and the spirit and the word don't come together because we're somewhere else. So let the spirit and the word come together and feed us. And by the way, for you guys, maybe romancing the Lord isn't the right word, but worshiping him, honoring him. Honoring him the way you would any great honor. That is just the beginning. Don't take it for granted. And I want to encourage you, when you come into the church, we're coming into the King's presence together. This isn't just a time to just hang out for an hour and hurry up and let's get home. It's a time where we have an audience together with our
precious Father and Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And this is so precious. Because honestly, each one of you has something to bring to the table, even if it's just a quiet prayer. We all have a praise and worship. We have that to come together with. But God wants to speak to some of you, even your children. He wants to speak to you. You can pray for people, and you can sing a song. God might put it on your heart to sing a song. And you can say, I have a song to sing. The Lord wants me to sing a song that will bless you. You children can do that. You're welcome. And God wants, all of you are welcome to do that. We are welcome to interact, and we need to be more interactive. But, you know, when we come empty sometimes, we all come empty sometimes, all right? Hello.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
That's true at times.
Everybody comes empty sometimes. Some of you don't even come in even though your body's here. Some of you are somewhere else. Now look, I've been around a long time. I can read everybody. God has so much for us, especially in this hour, as the intimacy and the unity of this body comes in a greater way. But we need to be united on Him, united in Him, and ministering to Him and allowing Him to bring us where we need to be, individually and together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is faithful, and He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. And I want to finish reading this scripture in 42. Michael, do you have your Bible?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you
right
do?
Right next to me, yeah. What do you want me to read?
Okay, I want you to start, and let's all read together at number 7. Psalm 42, number 7.
Yeah, I'm reading. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God.
Judge me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation, and deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. You are the God of my strength, and why do you cast me off? Have you ever felt that way? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling place. And then I shall go to the altar of God, to God, joy, my exuberant joy. Yes, upon the harp will I praise you, O my God. Why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the salvation of my countenance and my God. Lord, I thank you that your word brings us to you. And your songs are so beautiful that you brought through David. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can receive your love and your grace and your faith. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord, to feed our faith. Help us, Father, to intentionally press into faith and to believing in that which you have spoken and not what we see. If you are feeling down, read the Psalms. If you are in a low place, read the Psalms and sing them out loud. Even if you don't know what to sing, make it up. The word is ever, ever important right now. But not just to read for knowledge, but to read as a part of feeding and interacting with our bridegroom, our captain, our general,
yes.
Lord Savio, the Lord, our army captain, general. How can we be an army if we're not focused on the general and his orders? We have to be focused on him. When circumstances get you in any direction other than focus, just worship. Get in the Word and refocus. It takes discipline, but we are not kids here anymore. God doesn't expect us to act like children. We are growing, and we are all at a ministry level. There's nobody in here that can't minister. It isn't full up of things from the Lord. So be encouraged with the Word tonight.
Amen.
Be encouraged with God's Word. His Word will take you over. Because it's power, it's truth, and His Word is active. That means it's changing things.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
not just a book.
Mm-hmm.
And as we speak out loud His Word, His will, what happened when He spoke His Word? Things changed. He's in us, and He wants to keep speaking through us.
Mm-hmm.
We're His voice, we're His mouthpiece now. And He doesn't have a different tale to tell. It's all right here. This is our language now.
Yeah.
The language of the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I know.